Good morning. It's May the 18th, 2025, in the year of our Lord, and the title for my message this morning is Watershed Moments. And I have two readings. The first one comes from the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verses 1 through 8. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain. For the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." And then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this. And I will be their God, and they will be my children. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death." And my other reading comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 31 through 38. "And when he was gone, Jesus said, 'Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself, and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another as I've loved you, so you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another.' And Simon Peter asked him, 'Lord, where are you going?' And Jesus responded, 'Where I am going you cannot follow now, but you will follow later.' Peter asked, 'Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you.' Then Jesus answered, 'Will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times.'" Watershed moments. I went to a website called listverse.com, and it gave some very historical moments in human history that I wanted to share with you, and it started, I'm going to go back to 10 events, from number 10 to number 1. Number 10 on this website was the Bolshevik Revolution that began in October 1917, and it transformed Russia from a parliamentarian nation with monarchies to a socialist communist country, forming what would become the superpower known as the Soviet Union. And of course, initially there was violent clashes between what we would call people who supported parliament and the monarchy, and of course, the communists. Number 9, the development of the Watts steam engine in the 1800s. Not only did it save fuel, but it led the Industrial Revolution. Number 8, the assassination of Archduke Ferdinand Francis and his wife, of Hungary, Austria. Because of this assassination, armies were built up in France and Russia, leading eventually to the First Great War. And during this time, the United States began its rise as a superpower. Number 7, the Black Plague. The Black Plague devastated medieval populations, changing their economies and society in all areas of the world. It's reported that China lost two-thirds of its population, and between a quarter and two-thirds of Europeans died as well from the Black Plague.
Number six, the storming of Bastille on July 14, 1789. It was a medieval fortress in Paris, and it represented royal authority. And it became a flashpoint in the French Revolution, which in turn gave rise to liberal democracies and secularism as an ideology. Number six, smallpox vaccine. Smallpox was the deadliest disease in the world, and if you contracted it, you either died or you were badly disfigured. In the 18th century, on average, 400,000 Europeans died yearly. Smallpox outbreaks wiped out 80 to 90% of the native Indian populations in the Americas. Englishman Edward Jenner developed a vaccine that is the only human infectious disease to be eradicated. In other words, his vaccine worked. Number four, the invention of the printing press by Johann Gutenberg in 1436. It revolutionized the production of books with further rapid development in science, art, and religion. The printing press was fundamental to the Protestant Reformation. The printing press helped masses learn. Number three, the publication of the 95 Theses by Martin Luther in 1517. The Protestant Reformation was fueled even further because of these 95 Theses, in the essence giving Europeans two choices, Roman Catholic or Protestant. The Protestant Reformation split Europe not only religiously but also politically, and the unity in that sense would never be the same. Number two, this is one that was unfamiliar to my ears and eyes, the Berlin Conference of 1884. It was called by the government of Portugal, and it was organized by Otto von Bismarck, the Chancellor of Germany. And at this conference, the European superpowers at that time basically carved up the continent of Africa in order to extend their economic and nationalistic agendas. This conference eliminated most existing forms of African autonomy and self-rule. And the number one watershed event in human history, according to listverse.com, is the birth of Jesus of Nazareth. His birth has influenced more lives and changed human history unlike any other man or woman. Dating systems and calendars were changed, and people themselves were changed by the power of his birth and his message of the gospel. His life has been the subject of countless books, debates, and documentaries, and no other person has affected world history, whether philosophical or political, and certainly not religiously, like Jesus of Nazareth. So there's 10 watershed events. You know, when we review the past, whether globally or personally, we soon realize that mistakes were made, and so we should pause and think that maybe we can learn from them and change our present circumstances and maybe the future. As Christians, we can take this thought further. We are made stronger and better in every sense of the word when God redeems the time either through us or in spite of us. And when you think about it, those are our individual watershed moments. Now, for these past few weeks, I have been using the lectionary. And we have another flashback episode from the lectionary before us. This time, we are with the disciples in the upper room before Jesus' death. and his passion. We read where the disciples with Jesus celebrated the Passover and what we call as Christians Holy Communion. And after Jesus received the bread and the cup, he departed immediately. Judas, that is. Jesus explains to the disciples that he will be leaving them soon, and he would be glorified, and he would become one again with God his Father. But his disciples at that time could not join him, but they would later on. And we read where Jesus gives his disciples one last commandment, a new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you, so must you love one another. You know, a couple of weeks ago I read where the disciples were having breakfast with Jesus on the beach, and they were remembering his words. And despite his passion and death, despite the betrayal by Judas Iscariot, despite their collective grief and sorrow, not to mention the way he was treated by the authorities, both Roman and Jewish, God did something miraculous. A miracle that was now alive and breathing, and it was propelling the disciples to go on a mission that would forever change not only their lives and really the history of Jewish people, but the world for that matter. You know, as human beings, there are moments when we spend time regretting our decisions. The mistakes we made and their ramifications, and by that I mean relationships that have been lost, job opportunities that have been squandered or lost as well. Maybe for taking a different path in life. Going right when we should have gone left, or going left when we should have gone right, or just going straight ahead. You know, regret, if we are not careful, can become like a virus eating us inside and out. The gospel and the words of Christ show us that God has a beautiful plan for us. A plan that often we could never imagine for ourselves. You see, God's heart is larger than what we have or could have imagined. You know, when you think about it, the story of Judas Iscariot is a sad one. You know, some biblical commentators think Judas was trying to manipulate or coerce Jesus into forcing his hand by turning him over to the Jewish authorities, and thereby Jesus would have to use his divine power, and consequently, he would begin the process of restoring Jewish autonomy and freedom. And it would all start in Jerusalem. Others think, however, that Jesus was simply fed up with the abundant grace that Jesus offered to people. For example, when Mary Magdalene took some very expensive perfume and poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair, Judas became indignant, and he talked about money that could have gone to the poor, but John's gospel says, no, Judas didn't care about the poor, he was a thief. And then we read, after Judas had decided in his heart to betray Jesus, and after he took the bread and the cup, it says that Satan entered into him, leading to not only thought, but to action, the actual betrayal of Jesus. Now, whatever the reason or motive for Judas to betray Jesus, we will never know in this lifetime. For whatever reason, maybe deception by Satan, Judas Iscariot could not grasp or maybe even accept the grace of God. Because we read ultimately, after Judas realized he shed and betrayed innocent blood, he hung himself. And that's found in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27, verses 1 through 10. What we do know from our personal experience and biblical history is that out of evil, God creates good. God is always doing that. Some individuals that found themselves in terrible circumstances, and by God's grace and help, they redeemed the time. From Corrie Ten Boom to Desmond Tutu to Dietrich Bonhoeffer to one of the very descendants of Jacob, his son Joseph, who was sold by his other brothers as a slave. You know, forgiveness brings peace of mind and soul to ourselves, but it also can bring peace to the larger world. God's forgiveness must be our model for forgiving others. And through God's abundant grace, we can learn to live and love according to God's will. When we pray, the will that we ask to be done on earth as it is in heaven, we pray the Lord's Prayer, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. All the saints down through the ages understood that without God's power and strength and grace and mercy, there is no way we can hope to accomplish this in our own strength and will. It's not going to happen, folks. You see, God's love and mercy creates beauty out of ugliness, victory out of betrayal, forgiveness out of the unforgivable, and a restorative life out of certain death and destruction. You know, watershed moments, our lives are filled with them. So this morning, as you contemplate your own past, your mistakes, your regrets, your current pain, and the roads not taken, or maybe the roads taken, know that out of all this, God through Christ holds you in the palm of His hands. Judas wasn't the only one who betrayed Jesus. Oh, no. Peter, on that fateful night when he was trying to warm himself up in a courtyard, denied Jesus three different times to cover his rear end. But Peter wasn't the only one. Oh, no. In the Garden of Gethsemane, it's either fight or flight. Peter was the only one willing to fight for Jesus. But the other disciples, they all hightailed it and took off in the dark. And then, of course, we have doubting Thomas. You know, Thomas said, I will not believe, despite what the women have said. I will not believe what Peter and John have said. I will not believe what you have told me until I take my hands and put them in the nail-scarred hands and in his side. Now, let's be honest. Let's be fair. Let's be gracious. No one truly understood Jesus until it was all over and Jesus ascended into the heavens to be one with his Father. May the gospel of Christ be your watershed moment when you know God lives in and through you. Know this, that the best is yet to come. That's an old song that Frank Sinatra sang many moons ago. Our past has been forgiven. So grasp Jesus' hand and keep on walking by faith. May God bless your day. Amen.